reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of Genesis. It's on page 1. It's the account of creation. And even at creation, we see the Trinity being revealed as not only is God the Father present in His creative work, but the Spirit of God is also there. Reading from Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together He called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruits, trees bearing fruit in which there is seed, each according to its kind on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its own kind. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great sea creatures, and every living creature that moves with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas and let the birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth. And subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth, when they were created. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from the book of Acts. It's found on page 1165 in your pew Bibles. It continues the readings from last Sunday, the Sunday of Pentecost. Reading from Acts 2, beginning at verse 14. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, He foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, and nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. This is the word of the Lord. We rise out of respect for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, found on page 1068. And we read Matthew 28, beginning at verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your gospel lesson for today, where Jesus told his disciples, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." Amen. A number of years ago, I was filling a vacancy in Fairfield, Iowa. My congregation was about 30 miles to the east in Mount Pleasant along the U.S. highway that runs between the two of them. I was there with my family. Some function, I can't remember which, but there was a pretty big thunderstorm that roamed through while the function was going on. And after we left, as we looked up, the sky was still boiling and dark, but the rain had somehow passed beyond us. We drove for about 10 minutes, and all of a sudden, as we were driving, the sky began to change. The sun had set enough in the high horizon that, if you will, it had gotten underneath those dark, foreboding clouds. And suddenly, the entire sky turned to gold, mixed in with purples and violets. It's hard for me to describe it to you, but as I kind of kept looking up through the windshield, I was driving and my wife was looking behind going, "That is so beautiful." I finally decided to pull off the road and get a look at it myself. Now, mind you, this is a U.S. highway. And you would think pulling off to the road as we all got out of the car to look at the sunset, there'd be a lot of cars driving by us. But there was not. As we looked down the highway, everybody was pulling over. Everybody. And getting out of their cars to look at this sunset. You almost thought you were getting a glimpse of what it was going to be like when we entered into God's heavenly glory. So wonderful it was. In my 60-some years, I've seen a lot of pretty sunsets. I've been on the eastern shores of Lake Michigan looking out over the waters at some gorgeous ones. So wonderful that when the sun finally set and there were like thousands gathered on the beaches, the entire crowd broke out in applause at the beauty of the sunset they just witnessed. So I've seen some pretty good ones. But I have to tell you that on a scale of 1 to 10, that if I was to compare all those other gorgeous sunsets that I've seen, even the one where everybody on the beach broke out into applause, I'd have to give that a 2 in comparison to the one that I saw that night down on a U.S. highway heading home. It was that gorgeous. There are things that are so awesome that words just can't describe them. I can tell you what that sunset, how it affected me and how wonderful it was, but if you weren't there, you're never going to get it. And so, my friends, it is when we are trying to describe the awesomeness and the being of God. He's just too big, too awesome, too glorious for mere words to describe. We've got that long creed coming up here in a few minutes. It tries to describe God just in His relationship within the Godhead. And frankly, it doesn't accomplish it. It's interesting, as you're going through the Athanasian Creed, there are, I believe, more, and it's not this, and it's not this, and it's not this, than there really are, but it is this, it is this. My puny little earthly mind that God created can understand 3. And I can understand 1. But 3 in 1. Who can fathom it? God is awesome in His being and in His power and in His glory. Not only can't we comprehend His very nature itself, but think of it, with a word, He brings the universe into being. With a word, He creates light. With a mere word, all the variety and beauty of the plants of the earth in an instant comes into being. With a mere word, all the creatures in the sea and in the air and on the land begin their existence. From grabbing just a lump of dust and breathing some life into it, He makes us. How do you comprehend such power and such glory and majesty that without any effort at all, He can paint the sky in all those gorgeous colors we see, or can make the mountains? Our God is truly awesome. But the world has difficulty with the kind of awesomeness that God is. For you see, while we may be able to appreciate it, we don't like the idea that we can't comprehend it, that we can't control it, that we can't make it, if you will, subservient to our whims and our wishes and our wants. By and large, human nature fears the unknown. And there's a lot about God and His glory and His majesty and His awesomeness that we will never know. And that is why there's one more aspect of God that we must know if we are to turn our lives over to Him and rest comfortably in His hands. And that is the awesomeness of His love. When I arrived here for church last evening, as I was getting out of my car, there was an ant crawling right next to where I was going to step out. I stepped on the ant. I didn't double check, but I think it's dead out there. And you know what? I shed not a tear. I moved right along. Didn't think about it twice. How awesome is the love of God. If I came to you and said, would you die for an ant? I don't think I'd get any takers. Not just here, but on the face of this planet. But let's do it one better. In order to save the ant, you don't only have to die for it, you have to take on its flesh and live within it for the rest of all eternity. Who do you think, even if they could, would? I don't know anybody like that. Such love, compassion for an ant is beyond the imagination. Until you read the Holy Scriptures and you consider the awesomeness and the wonder of God in His love for us. Remember, He fills the universe with a mere word. He can make all of us. And you know what? If somehow we all disappeared, He could make all of us again with just another word. And this creation, which He made because the love which He had already had within Himself between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is a love that He wanted to share with the creation. He made us from nothing, and then we turn around and we rebel against Him. We reject His holy will. We do that which He forbids. Don't we know we're just a lump of dust? But instead of destroying us and just starting over, the Father goes to the Son and asks Him to take on the frail, weak, puny, little human flesh that we are and to take that into Himself for all eternity. And then living amongst us to suffer rejection and persecution, pain, suffering, and death by being nailed to a cross. How someone as awesome and majestic and glorious and big as God could love something like us that much is beyond imagination. And no mind could ever have dreamed it up. We may get a sense of the glory and the majesty of God by looking at a sunset, or by watching or looking out over the mountaintops, or seeing all the wonders of creation. But the kind of love that God has for us, if you will, the fullness of the doctrine of the Trinity, is only known by revealed knowledge. By God Himself speaking to us in the Scriptures, and the Word which became flesh in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, throughout the Old Testament, the Trinity is hinted at. Even at the dawn of creation, there is the God creating and the Spirit hovering. With the fullness of its revelation, the understanding of the fullness of the mercy and the love that God has for us, that awaits the coming of God into our flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. And it continues to be known only in word and sacrament. Yeah, there's all kinds of people that believe in God, a God who can make the mountains, a God who can do the beautiful sunsets. But a God who loves like our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is only known through the Scriptures, through the sacraments, and through the person of Jesus Christ Himself. God grant that we always cling to this wonderful knowledge of our God and never cease to thank Him for the revelation of His true self in the love He has given us in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.